is someone who doesn't want you to forget that. That's what I'm trying to do for you. That's what I need you to do for me. Don't let me forget the lights in me. Like that person walking up saying, I saw your light. And that made me, the couple, poof, right down the mountain. Now I remember a time that would have seemed impossible to occur. I thought I would have had to go into the party and impress. Hopefully, you know, so I could meet somebody that would like me. It never dawned on me that the light in me could become so bright that people who can see recognizes me, and somebody who recognizes me is probably somebody I'm going to get along with better than someone who doesn't. Mm-hmm. So that gave us a good beginning right there. And since there wasn't nothing I was trying to get from her, then I could have maximum satisfaction out of our encounter and walk away from that encounter without feeling like I was missing anything, because all I wanted was what I received. That I love that. I love walking away from encounters feeling satisfied because I'm not trying to get anything. If I'm not trying to get anything, then there's nothing for me to feel like was missing. So I'm only feeling like there's a lot of lack when I'm trying to get. Boy, I've learned a lot. What about y'all? Now the course says this is Jesus channeling through a Jewish atheist psychologist. Now that's a good joke right there if you think about it. And trying to correct a lot of the distortions of the message of love that he taught. And it also says you don't have to believe any of that in order to benefit from the material. So when it says, I offer you my perfect faith in you, that's really like the Spirit saying that to us. But it's also, I offer you my perfect faith in you. It totally applies to the way we're supposed to relate to each other. I offer you my perfect faith in you. Now, what does it mean to offer someone your perfect faith in them? When you offer someone your perfect faith in them, you are remembering that they have complete love within them for them. You are remembering for them that they have love in them, because the lack of faith they have in themselves is coming from them forgetting that love is in them. So my having faith in you is remembering that love is in you. My having faith in you is not trying to have faith that every word that come out of your mouth is going to be right or honest or true at an ego, physical, body level. But forget not that my faith must be as perfect in all of you as it is in you. My faith has to be as complete in all of you as it is in you. So what does that mean? That means that I have to accept that everyone in here has perfect love in them, whether they know it or not, as well as you. So being faithful to all of you is for me to remember that all of you are loving and lovable and innocent and free and God and powerful. Even if you don't believe it, even if you don't talk about it, even if you don't act like it, even if it's not even in your conversation, and you talk just like a human being that's asleep. Okay? And I'm not going to even try to correct you at the level of your human identity anyway, because that will just make you focus on your human identity even more to defend the validity of it. If I tell you, you're totally innocent and totally guilty and you're more than a body, if you don't believe that, that's going to immediately bring up resistance, and you're going to go into a stance of believing just the opposite of what I'm saying even more. So I would have done better just to think it about you and not say anything to you when you're not ready to receive love yet. That's why God is silent. God is doing the same thing to us that you do to your friends. You know what I'm talking about. It's some people when you're around, you think but you don't say. Because you know if you were to say it, you all would go into some kind of a weird place in your relationship, right? So you're really ready to say your truth, but you don't want to say it until it can be received peacefully, right? Okay, that's why God seems like God is silent to us. When you're ready to hear without fear, you will hear. But up until that point, the only way the Course says you become aware of Spirit or God is by its results, not by direct perception of God or love. It'll be by the results of it being in your life. One result would be a total stranger walking up to you might say, that's one form, yeah, that says, I love you for who you are, even though I don't know who you are, I love you for being who you are. You see what I'm saying? It's like it came to me through a body. It didn't come to me through a disembodied voice. Mm-hmm. So that means that most of the truth that comes to us is probably going to come through us, to us, from us. Because our bodies, if anybody's seen Body World knows, our body is just a communication device for what we really are to come through and speak and act. That's what the body really is. The reason why the body can't do its job the way it really should do its job in terms of keeping us very, very aware is because when you think you are a body, then there's nothing for your body to relay a message to. Because the purpose of the body is to bring you sensory messages, but you think you are it. No, you're the person that watches the television. You're not the television. The television is relaying a picture to you. You're not your body. Your body is relaying things to you. And it can relate to you pleasures beyond your wildest imagination. And your body can reflect to you pain beyond your wildest imagination. It just depends on how much you are deceiving yourself about who you are. The more you forget who you are, the more pain you experience. The more you remember who you are, the more joy you experience. So deep pain is deep forgetfulness, not sin. You're not having something punish you because you did something bad. The pain is coming from deceiving yourself about your own innocence. And we all got stories that we tell ourselves to make us believe what we believe about ourselves. Those stories, that's what the Course calls your ego. Your ego is your story. Well, I was a black boy born in the South in 1950, back before civil rights laws. And because of that, that's what's happened. That's my problem in life. I'm a woman and all women can't, you know, I'm a man and all women, and I'm from, you know, it's your story. Everybody's got a story. But the story is just your delaying maneuver that keeps you from remembering who you are and having the joy that you want because for some reason you don't think you deserve it right now. So you use your story to justify not letting yourself be healed. When you decide to heal, then your story becomes your means to heal. All the things you used to crucify yourself with become the things that you heal yourself through. I love it. So that means to turn around and go in the direction you want to go to right now in your life, you already have everything you need to do that. Because all you need is where you are now, who you are now. Is that fair enough? If you say you need something else, that's a reflection of your fear of having to change right now. If you're afraid to change right now, you're going to say you need something more than this moment is offering you. If you're afraid to change right now, you're going to say you need more than what this moment is offering you. Oh, I can be happy just after this next thing, and I can have peace right after this next. No, I couldn't possibly do it right now, especially in this outfit. I know I didn't just go have enlightenment in this outfit. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Course says, if you follow me in the book, the Course says, I forget not that my faith must be as perfect in all my brothers as it is in you, or it would be a limited gift to you. And the reason I want to give an unlimited gift to you, so I'll see you as having love within you, and I'll also see everybody else as having love within them. That way I have given you an unlimited gift. It says, in the holy instant, the Course calls the healing instant, we share our faith in God's Son because we recognize together that God's Son is worthy of our faith, and in our appreciation of His worth, we cannot doubt His holiness, and so we love Him. In appreciation of your value, I cannot doubt your innocence, and so I love you. In the appreciation of your value, I cannot doubt your holiness. I cannot doubt your beauty. And so I love you. So loving you completely comes from what? My appreciating your worth. So you don't love who you don't appreciate. 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 You love who you appreciate. You love who you appreciate. You love who you appreciate. Appreciation is love. Full appreciation is real love. It's full appreciation, not what you do for me.
You appreciate some parts of a person, but not another.
You appreciate a person, then you love them. It looks like you're loving them for some things and not loving them for other things. You appreciate me for one thing, you're not appreciating me for another thing. You're loving me for one thing, you're fearing me for another thing. That happens all the time. So that's what that is. And that's not bad. That's just what it is.
But even more than that, everything I see in you that I don't like, I have to see it through the part of myself that is just like that. So I can't even see a flaw.